when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, behold, Magi appeared from the east, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen his star at its rising, and we have come to do him homage." These Magi, who were they? Where did they come from? What did they want? How do we picture them in our minds when we hear about them each year? Sometimes, such as on this question, I enjoy looking at some of the ancient and medieval commentators upon Scripture. It can be refreshing because they ask different questions than contemporary commentators do now. And in this case, is one of those times where they ask very concrete and interesting questions. Some of those that St. Thomas Aquinas collects in his commentary called the Catena Aurea. They ask questions that are based upon the assumption, traditional in Western Europe at that time, that Jesus was born on December 25th, and that the Magi arrived 12 days later on January 6th. They start with this assumption, and then they ask some questions. They want to know, where did they come from? How did they travel? How long did it take them? How fast were they going? How exactly did that timeline work? And we find that they come up with some different interesting ideas on how this could have actually taken place. One of them suggests, maybe the star did not appear on the day that Jesus was born. Maybe it had appeared earlier. After all, based upon what the Magi told King Herod, he then went and killed all the baby boys in Bethlehem aged 2 and under. Maybe it appeared 2 years before Jesus was born, and that gave the Magi plenty of time to prepare for their journey and to make it. So that's one theory that one commentator put forward. Another one said, well, they came from the east. Maybe they didn't come from very far to the east. They were not from a far country to the east. Maybe they're from a fairly near one, you know, just across the river or something. There was a third one who said, perhaps they were able to travel very fast because they used dromedaries and Arabian horses. Now, we could multiply theories and ideas. There's lots more questions we could ask about the Magi. But you know, I like that last one. And I like it because it raises the possibility that maybe the Magi were a little different than the typical image that we have of them. Because don't we tend to think of them as highly exotic, dressed in strange robes with turbans and lumbering along through the desert with some large caravan, taking their time as they carry all this stuff? What if the horse's idea was more like it? What if they're actually rather different than that, or should I say, not as exotic as we think they were, maybe a lot more similar to us than we typically think? This word that we call them by, if we're not calling them kings or wise men, but go with the actual word in the New Testament, it's the Greek magos, or plural magoi. Basically, it's exactly what we say magi. Well, who were these people, these magoi, these magi? Well, this word, when it's used elsewhere in the Bible, in the book of Acts, is translated as magician. In the book of Daniel, it gets translated as enchanter or conjurer, not necessarily having anything to do with kings. And in fact, we read that the Magi originally were a caste of Persian priests who were known originally for their interpretation of dreams. That's why we see them there in the book of Daniel. In later documents, we see that they come to be associated with magic and with astrology. So I want to suggest a different picture, and that is that think to yourself of when you've seen Harry Potter and the School of Hogwarts. Since probably most of you here have seen some of the movies or read some of the books. What did you see there? Well, ask yourself whether the young Magi were perhaps somewhat like those students there at Hogwarts. Not in every respect, but in the sense that They were doing a lot of studying, doing a lot of work in the labs, and they were looking into some very unusual things. They were studying the stars. They were looking into hidden knowledge, occult knowledge. They were very concerned with dreams. More likely, even if they were somewhere around Persia, they had picked up some of the Greek philosophy and studied some of that. So they were very energetic at seeking to penetrate the secrets of this dark universe that surrounded them. And they had made progress at it. And yet, I would suggest that for all the progress that they made, they could see just how much remained that they didn't know yet. So this vast universe they were seeking to comprehend and not getting very far at could seem very cold and empty and dark. And especially as they dabbled into this occult knowledge, very possibly they had discovered powers that were harsh, cold, perhaps evil. So what had they done for them? These young men, energetic, wanting to understand, but perhaps as they had encountered these things, it had made them a little hardened, a little sad, a little lonely, a little cynical. That's something we know, isn't it? And then, in their lives, appears the star. This star that behaves very strangely, so we won't even attempt to figure out what it was exactly. But this star that they recognized because somehow they've been waiting for it. Probably they had heard of the prophecy of Balaam some 1,200 years before that appears in the book of Numbers, when he had said that a star would rise from Jacob, a staff from Israel. For that, or perhaps for other reasons, they had been waiting, such that when this appeared, there must have been an instant reaction. And we can imagine the conversation. Melchior, Balthazar, the star has appeared. Get your saddles ready. Get your horses. We have to go. When are we leaving? Tomorrow? Tomorrow? We can't wait that long. We're going to leave in an hour. We have got to make sure we don't waste any time as we get to find the king whose arrival this star heralds. And so picture, in this imagination, the young magi on their horses, galloping as fast as the horses could carry them west, pursuing this star, not ready to lose a moment in finding who this star was leading them to. Because hope had kindled in their hearts for the first time. In the United States, around 1860, the Pony Express was able, in the relay of men and horses, to cover 2,000 miles in 10 or 11 days. The distance from Persia to Jerusalem is 1,000 or 1,200 miles. It can be done. Let's leave the details aside for a moment and consider how very familiar and like us the Magi can turn out to be. And how appropriate is that? For what we celebrate on this feast day is that the Magi are our spiritual ancestors. And that on this day, they encountered for the first time the light of the world. After all, prior to this time, the people of Israel had been in a relationship with the Lord for more than 1,000 years. They had had covenants with him. They had had his revelation and his word. They had learned moral knowledge. They had had his priests, his prophets. They had had so much of a history with the Lord. They knew him so well in certain ways. But what about all the people who were not of that people of Israel? And probably most of us here are not ethnically of the Jewish people. Thus, our ancestors, what about them? They had been in darkness all this time. Sure, they had had natural revelation, the natural light of reason, but that doesn't take you very far. And it doesn't substitute for the relationship that the people of Israel were able to have. But as the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah so many centuries earlier, It is too little to raise for you to raise up the tribes of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations. And so this is the day when it all began, when the Magi, as our spiritual ancestors, first encountered the truth and the hope that they had been longing for so long, and they found that it was a person, a baby even, as they encountered our Lord Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary, the love of God, the light of the world, in person. How appropriate that on this day when we celebrate this event, that we have these six men and women who are on their journey. We've been on this journey together these last few months. Unfortunately, it will not take only 12 days. We move perhaps at a speed a little less than galloping horses. There's still a few months to go before we reach the target of the Easter Vigil. Like the Magi, you have been responding to this call, this light, to pursue it in your life and to find who it leads you to. You long for that fulfillment of that union with Him when we come to the Easter Vigil. And for all the rest of us, just as the arrival of the Magi challenged Herod and the others in Jerusalem, so men and women in RCIA always challenge the rest of us as we see how they are following the star to Christ. And it makes us look upon ourselves and ask at least two questions. The first is, are we conscious of this light of the world that we know, that we have union with? Are we that excited and that paying that much attention to Him? Do we need to warm those embers back into flame once again? Secondly, if that flame is within us, are we ready to share it with others? Are we ready to share this light of the world that others around us, whether they know it yet or not, are longing for as desperately as the Magi were? What better gift do we have to give in this new year?